Hello, hello there, outliers. Niamh Shong here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. We are joined here once again on the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their difference in the world. And so today we have an outlier that I'm incredibly excited to get in front of all of you and for you to see more about the different world that she's creating. We have the pleasure of being with Dr. Terry Bader. Dr. Terry, it's an absolute pleasure to be in space with you. Thanks for coming on here today.
It's an absolute honor to be here. Absolutely, Nyama. I love it.
Yeah. You know, it's cool. Like what I love to do when I start the conversations, just to remind myself about like who the person is that's in front of me, right? And some people might do it through their bios and like here goes all the things they've done, but I'm going to tell you about like who you've been to me. And one of the things I really appreciate about you is that I do feel like you are a world shaper. In my mind, I was thinking world creator. But I really do feel the elements of world shaping with you. Like we might get into some of the things that you brought in our past conversations around like love consciousness and beyond. But you take the things that we see in life and you actually help shape it into like a new existence, a new way of interacting with it. And I think the world shaping part really does feel strong for me. I have multiple distinctions because I spend time in worlds. So I'm like, who's a world creator? Who's a world shaper? What's a world builder? Like I have all those things there. And you really do like show up strongly in shaping the world around you.
Thank you. I feel like that's pretty spot on.
Yeah, it feels good here. Well, Dr. Terry, I've let people know a bit about who you are to me right now. I like to give them a chance to get to know you. Let's do this. I want to understand like what you're really about. Like, we'll let them know personally and professionally what you do. But like, tell us about the different world that you're shaping right now. Let's do that, and then like through that, let's get to know you as well.
Well, I mean, what I do is I live in the right mind. I live in love consciousness, as you mentioned earlier, and that's what I teach. So it's sort of like I like to think of it like, there's two sides to the river. There's a side where people are happy and thriving, and there's a side where people are killing each other and doing horrible things to each other and whatever. And I kind of have I'm the person that gets on the ferry boat and goes across and says, "Hey, you want to come over to our side?" And this is what I do with leaders, because obviously my side is where people are happy. There's a lot less suffering. They're a lot more capable, fulfilled, whole, and they're able to live life to the fullest. I mean, I don't know. It's where I live is hard for people to, I mean, when I say where I live, it's like in what mental, emotional realm I live in, is, ooh. Sorry. So the mental, emotional realm that I live in is hard for a lot of people to grasp. And the reason for that is that it's not graspable. You cannot capture, contain, and control the love consciousness. It's bigger than us. This way of being is bigger than the practical, tactical of our life. It's the true aliveness. Let me know if you have any questions here or.
Yeah, I have questions. No, don't worry, Dr. Terry. I got you on the question side of things. I think let's give a little bit of room here just to like get a chance to see you a bit personally too. So, 'cause we're gonna spend some time on the love consciousness and seeing things from there. We'll talk more about your clients as well. But I want to get to like to know you. Like who are you in that from that perspective? Like just give us a couple different nuggets about like you as a person.
Me as a person.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Oh yeah. Tell me more.
That's interesting because I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I like to leave, I purposely like ask open-ended questions just to
Yeah.
see what people say. I don't necessarily have any specific elements to it all, but like, you know, and it might be like, hey, you're gonna find out about me as a person through the conversation, but I want to leave some space. If there's anything that you're like, oh, that like this is my life, this is what I do. Like, you're like, if your life is this, then that, then we're in alignment there as well. But I want to make sure
So I mean,
we
like professionally, I'm a leadership coach. You know, I'm an author, I'm a teacher. Those are all roles that I have. I'm not a mother, which many people assume because of my age or something, but not at all. And you know, professionally, that's what I do. I shape
Yeah.
minds. I understand the mind of humanity. And therefore, I go around shaping the minds of leaders into a higher level of consciousness.
Boom. Let's keep playing with this here. So I want to get into this component of love consciousness, and we're gonna spend more time in this conversation, in the space of like how you stepped into like being a mind shaper. You know, because I think there's a lot of the outliers out here who have like their views as well, and they're like, okay, but who would want to hear from me? And like, I am this, like I have all these roles, but like, and I don't have this other credential or this other thing. So who would actually take me seriously on XYZ, right? So I want to spend time in that because I think that's where a lot of my people are. But I also find that like the love consciousness to be really fascinating. I want to make sure that we spend some components on it. So like let's say right now that you're speaking to leaders who do things differently, right? Leaders who have kind of had like an unconventional way of creating their success right now.
Yeah.
And they probably based on like they probably believe to some extent, in a large extent, a variation of love consciousness. Help me see like how does this help support where they are, and how they can like leverage more love consciousness. You might need to explain a little bit more before we can get to it, but let's have that conversation like really quickly here because I love that you support leaders and there's a ton of them that listen to this.
Okay, so there's think so if you take a like if you take a snapshot of the planetary mind of humanity, any given moment, in that snapshot, 80% of people are in the socialized mind. They're thinking and acting and feeling from the socialized mind. That means whatever social construct they've absorbed, that they've integrated, they're just like rinse and repeat or spitting it out, not thinking, not changing, not evolving. That's 80% of the global mind of humanity at any given moment. Then we have 15% that are in what we call the self-authoring mind. Now, the self-authoring mind is where people are asking, like you were doing earlier, like the open questions. Well, what is going on? Why am I doing this? Where will that take me? Do I want to be there? Is that the best solution? What are the other possibilities? Let's look at the multiple possible outcomes. Maybe we could choose better outcomes. Well, if we're choosing a better outcome, how would we get there? What resources do we have? What decisions do we need to make? And then and that opening up multi-constellation thinking is the self-authoring mind. So the people you work with, and probably your audience and listeners, are going to relate to that. Because the fact that you're an outlier means the 80% are looking at you and saying, "Ooh, you're weird." So, right? That's what happens when you're the outlier.
Yep, and and so now, like I've never heard of self-authoring mind. So I take that to be like, okay, if you're in the self-authoring mind, right? You are creating your own story. That's like literally like this is my
Literally.
ways of saying it. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Literally. Literally.
So keep going.
Well, you're self-authoring. meaning you're not allowing the exterior world of social constructs to get downloaded into you and dictate and regulate how you see the world and how you act in it. You choose from the inside what you actually think. You look at what you actually feel and you choose from there.
Allies, like,
go ahead.
Well, Allies, I want to invite you to like really just take some time, really like right now, just take a breath in and recognize that like Dr. Terry saw it immediately. She's like, you're an outlier. You actually live in the self-authoring world. The question I would ask is, have you taken it to yourself to like acknowledge that you are the author of your own world, that you can self-author? As we continue on this conversation, let's put ourselves into the position of being the authors of our lives in this way, and we'll continue leveraging it from there. What do you see, Dr. Terry, like for those of us that are like, okay, like I'm self-authoring, right? And yet I am still struggling with, you know, the culture of my organization or the people that we've hired and the way I consider myself as a leader and like the results that I'm getting. Let's talk a little bit about that and how this plays together.
So yes, and this is my sweet spot, is how to get there. How to get out of the struggle and the suffering that the socialized mind imposes upon us, and even the organizations and the rules of society or the rules of business impose upon us. That suffering is the sign that you need to get out, for starters, and start self-authoring, okay? But beyond that, that's where we get into the two forms of consciousness. There are two basic forms of consciousness. One is centralized in the left brain, where you want to capture, contain, and control yourself, others, something. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong, somebody wins, somebody loses. It's us versus them. You and I are separate, we're independent. That is how that consciousness, which I call war consciousness, views the world and interacts with the world in conflict. And if you're feeling frustrated in life, that's probably where you are. If you're feeling bad, mad, and maybe even sad sometimes, that's a red flag to look and see if you are in war consciousness. Okay, so that's one side of who we are. Now, the right brain and the right mind are a completely different zone. It's a different consciousness.
That's I have to ask a quick question around this.
Sure.
Okay. So you mentioned right mind earlier, and then you also just mentioned right brain. And I have your book, so now when you say it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get you. But like when I first hear it, like, because maybe this is me more in the socialized mind side of it, right? But the social element, like, are you in your right mind? You know, like I hear that statement, and I feel like it'd be really helpful if we like put a little distinction here. You said right brain and right mind. Help us be all on the same page, will you?
Okay, so your brain is the organ. That's your CPU. That's the hard drive. It's not your thoughts, your feelings, or your consciousness. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your consciousness, that is the software. Okay? That is the information, energy, consciousness that runs through the hardware. That's the electricity going through all the circuits. That's the information. So we have to separate mind from brain. Now, there is an architecture of the left brain and of the right brain, which is different. Okay, so the left brain architecture of your hard drive brain is conducive to linear thinking, yes, no, binary thought processes. That's why it's right or wrong, you know? Then the right brain is conducive to multidimensional cluster constellation type thinking, and it's wired differently, literally. So the circuits are actually different in the hardware, but I like to look at the software mostly. So I'm looking at the consciousness, the part that is information consciousness, because what's really cool also about the brain is that if you change your thoughts and feelings, It actually changes some of the wiring of your brain. The neuroplasticity allows us to rewire the peptides of our brain. That's just a really geeky, cool thing that we can do as humans. Instead of being victim of our hardware, we can actually change up our hardware, which computers cannot obviously do. But we can.
It's a cool way of framing it right now, because I think a lot of what we talk about here is like, it's about like, who are you, right? And there's a secret like asterisk to everything that I say, which is I'm like, be you, asterisk, but you, the you who you are is going to evolve, like will keep growing. And like, and I like this like connection here with like the neuroplasticity, where it's like your brain can make, like the hardware itself can keep changing on you, provided that you start changing how you interact with you, like the software molds the hardware in that regard. Am I getting that right?
Isn't that cool?
I think it's cool, and I also think it's powerful. I think it gives a lot of space to some one just like the elements of like the power of like reframing and like reframing and choosing to think about things differently. It's interesting, because what's going on through my mind is like coming about things and thinking, oh, I'm just being like overly positive, or like I'm not, so on and so forth. And oh, actually, if I'm being really real, I'm thinking actually about the last 2 to 3 years for me right now, where I've left an environment where like a lot of my thoughts were in like the growth oriented, like so on and so forth. And it's taken on more of like a, well, this just work that needs to get done. Like it's just how it is. Like the way I would describe it is like I'm in the suck of it all. And it wasn't until about like 2 days ago where I really realized, I'm like, the actions that need to get done are the actions. They're not good, bad, or any of that stuff, right? They're just the actions. And what's going on through my mind right now is I'm like, is it my mind or my brain? But I think I'm right. What's going through my mind right now is I'm like, oh, I can consistently continue to like prime my brain with making connections in a way that suits the way I want it to go, and have that actually benefit and almost like make it the new way, the new path, the easier path going forward. So it's bringing up a lot here, just in the flexibility of it. And you talk about being a world shaper. If our world is created in our mind first, like you're like, hey, by the way, we can shape that too.
So my side of the river that I was talking about earlier is really like living in love consciousness, living in the right mind, not even like the right brain, but the right mind. And that right mind is, and I joke about it, like, 'cause you did earlier, but it's love consciousness. And from love consciousness, it's this understanding that we're interconnected, we're interdependent. Life is bigger than us. We are part of an ecosystem. The ecosystem affects us, and we affect the ecosystem. This interconnectivity, this constellation thinking, this higher level solution thinking, this longer term consequence oriented thinking, this altruistic thinking, wanting to make products and solutions that actually are what we call net positive rather than net zero or net negative. How do we keep adding value? And I'm not talking money, I'm talking value. How do we keep adding value every step of the way? And it's really important for our leaders to understand that, whether they're entrepreneurs in corporations, politicians, or just high school teachers, it does not matter. We need everybody to be jumping onto the ship of love consciousness in order to shift the whole world, because all of the problems that we're facing today in humanity come from being in a left brain, a lockdown war consciousness. Here's the deal. When you are in war consciousness and left brain thinking is dominating, you are disconnected. You're disconnected from your body. You're disconnected from nature. You're disconnected from other people. You're disconnected from even deep thinking, and you're disconnected from feeling. Everything is dead. It's stuff. When you're in your right mind, when you're in love consciousness, everything is connected. Everything is alive. Everything is interdependent. Everything is vibrant. Everything is breathing. Everything is like, and you lose, and you actually experience joy and happiness. And this is where you have higher end solutions, and where scientists, you know, get their epiphanies. It's coming from that place. If you cannot go there, you cannot reap the benefits.
So I'm going to take the conversation in a different direction, because I want to, like, when I talk to you, I it's clear how deeply you understand this world, you know? And so I want to go and explore a little bit about, like, the process to come in here. But before I do, I think it's like, I also want to make sure we call out, like, the book itself here. So you wrote a book here where, because in my mind, I'm like, all right, everything you're saying, how can they actually make this come to life? And I have mine right over here as well, right? So we're making our way through. What's the book's name? How can people get it?
So the book's name is Flip Your Switch, A User's Guide to a Whole New Mind. It's on Amazon and a bunch of other places. The audio is not out yet, working on it. And it's basically the journey that it's really a guide. It's the journey that I take my clients through to get out of their left brain into their right mind, out of war consciousness into love consciousness. And understanding, it's actually about 52 chapters, 52 weeks in a year. Each chapter is a couple of pages and a principle. It's interwoven. You can read it in the disorder, because I use that right mind architecture yep. to write it. But there is a linear to it as well. If you prefer, you can go either way. You can read it in the order or in the disorder. It works both ways.
Awesome. Outliers, I want to make sure that you get your hands on this, because what I love to do here, I recognize that, like, it's impossible to really get everyone to understand all of what's going on in someone's world in, like, the span of time that we have in these episodes. But if I can get them to know enough to say, I'm going to go deep, you know, I'm going to continue down this person's world, like, that's typically, like, that shines for me. In a bit, we'll share, like, your contact info or anything else, like, if someone wanted to reach out to you. But I'm now curious about, like, the process of, like you get world consciousness and love consciousness, like, you get this deeply. And I'm curious to have this conversation around less about, like, the specific topics, but more around the place of, like, if someone else is out there and they're like, I see the world differently, you know, how they can step into it. I don't want to do it from a standpoint of, like what I'll ask is this: when did you know it was time to, like, get this, like, get your message and help people see this, to get everyone onto the ship, as you were talking about it a little bit earlier? When did you know that it was, like, time to answer that calling?
Okay, so let me see how I can parcel this out. So I was already born weirdo, okay, with high level of intuition and knowing and some precognition and being like, what, other people don't know what's going to happen before it's going to happen? Hello, what's wrong? Like, when I was 12, was talking to children. We were playing, you know, and I was 12 years old, and they're like, oh, aren't dreams weird? You know, like, I don't know, pink elephants or whatever. And I'm like, no, dreams just tell you what's going to happen before it's going to happen. Because up until that age, I had been pretty much just dreaming in precog zone. So, and that's when I found out that I was weird, i.e. today we get to say neurodiverse. Thank you very much. But, and I was like, oh, not everybody's experiencing this. I'm experiencing this differently. And then I started to notice the difference. And I think this is important, because I believe that this kind of love consciousness and right-mindedness is accessible to everybody. So anybody and everybody who's out there listening can tap into it for their benefit and happiness and development, right? It's there. It's like it's built in for every human being. So why not? It's free. And so Over the years, I studied a lot. I studied all traditions, all wisdom traditions. I'm also an all faith minister. I'm a leadership coach. I have an MBA. I did accrued studies in this and that and the other thing. So I kept trying to figure out, like, what's the deal? Like, what's going on? Like, why are we making such shitty decisions? Like, what is with people that they're going around beating each other up or doing horrific things? I don't get it. I was like, I don't get it. And then I had some really, really bad experiences with a martial arts group. And it was like, and then my intuition started to like plug into a lot of different things. I'm like, there's love and there's war. Hold on a second. And I started to see, because I knew so much about the brain, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it all plugs in, it all fits, it all comes together. It's like the MC squared of everything on everything. I'm like, these people are fundamentally the martial arts people I was with, not all martial arts people, but the ones I was with, they were completely almost like deranged. And they were cruel and they were bullies. And they did this to me and other women. And I saw all this going on. I'm like, they're war conscious. Like, they cannot conceive unity. They cannot conceive peace. They can, like, I was on the other end and I couldn't. And so they showed me by their mistreatment of me really what it is that they are living and where they're coming from, pure war consciousness. And I was like, holy moly, I get it now. Because I was living in love consciousness for so many things, I didn't understand the other side. Now, and I realized that most people are on the other side of the river and they don't know that there's this love consciousness thing over here. So that was about 10 years ago.
Okay, so just to play this out here, and then we're gonna wrap up for today. But about 10 years ago, you had this epiphany of like, wait a minute, they're on the other side of the river. They didn't even know how good it is over here. Like, just take me through like almost like a quick trade on it, because I think there's outliers who are coming to their realization point where they're like, wait a minute. Like, I see something different. There's other people who are coming to like their toleration point where they're like, I can't not do something about this. There's like so on and so forth. So that was about 10 years ago. I'm very curious about like your journey to like, because when I meet you, like, you are a crusader for it. Like, you like there's no apologies, there's nothing there. It's just like, y'all should know about this. Everyone needs to get on this ship. All right. Like, let's make this happen. So I'm very curious about like that, like either the trajectory or the evolution or what, like over the last decade.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I was in a dark, deep, deep, dark place when they got done with me. Like, I was at the bottom, bottom, bottom. I won't even use the names that they called me. I won't even tell you the shit they did to me. I mean, I'm talking like emotional abuse, even some physical, like I'm like, and I'm the whole time I'm like, what the heck? Why was I putting up with that? Because I wanted to fit in, I wanted to be normal, I just wanted to have a community and I like martial arts and like why? And so why was I allowing myself to be beat up? And I think I think one of the main things is like we want to fit in. And now I am more of a crusader. But I mean, I got hate stuff this morning on LinkedIn. You go around talking about love consciousness, you're gonna get hate speak at you.
So firstly, like let me just acknowledge you for like really playing the game, because that's what I started smiling. I realized I'm like, oh, it's probably not like the most appropriate thing if you're looking at me smiling as you're like, I got hate speech or hate stuff today. But it's like, but I really wanted to say it's like a testament to you showing up, right? Because there's a lot of people who think the world should be different and they kind of throw their hands up at it. And there's another like, you are actually out in the world speaking this. So can I, like, without going too far into it, but like, because I know of people who have amazing visions, who have great missions to put out, and they're not calling it love consciousness, but they're in so much alignment with you. They're partners on the journey, right? And some of their biggest fears of before they even get anything out there, whether it's a book or on LinkedIn or anything, is like, but what if someone doesn't agree? What if I get, and not even doesn't agree, because I think it's, what if it's like straight up hate, you know? So just, I'm curious how you, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said before, 80% of people are not going to like what you have to say because you're self-authoring. They are stuck in the rinse and repeat mode. It's a given. It's like the landscape of what's out there. That's why I talked about the snapshot of the mind. 80% of people are not self-authoring. They're not thinking. So they're going to give you basically bull, okay? Because they're not thinking. The important part is to get away from the 80%, stick with your tribe, the 25%, and also don't try to save the world. Like it's too heavy, there's too much weight there, you can't do it. I mean, that was something that I really struggled with. And there's another thing that I also say to all my clients, because all my clients are like social entrepreneurs, they're all trying to move the needle, you know? It's like if somebody can't meet you halfway, they're not for you. You cannot meet them where they are. That is bull. You don't have to reach that far. If they can't meet you halfway, don't go there. It's not your job to fix them or heal them if they can't meet you halfway.
I love that sentiment, by the way. I just things that are going off in my brain here, because I hear so often, like, you got to meet people where they are. You got to meet people where they are. And I'm like, and my general thing is, I try it, and it like nothing moves, nothing happens. I'm bored, and then I start like I start doubting myself, and eventually I'm just like, I got to a place where I'm like, I'm a person. Why don't they come meet me where I'm at? You know? And I like this element of like it's too far to go meet them exactly where they are. They should be like, if they're really inclined to do the work, because like, or to keep going, they should be showing some initiative on their part to come and meet you somewhere along the path.
Right. So
That's
here's
it.
the deal, like back to the 80-15,
Yeah.
right? So the 80% that are in their rinse and repeat, at some point some kind of suffering is hard enough that it wakes them up a little bit, you know? And then they're willing to make a few steps forward. And then they can come join us in the self-authoring mind. They can come to the self-authoring crew, and it'll be tw instead of being 15%, it'll be 20%. Or it'll be maybe 30%. Like, that's what we're here to do. Build critical mass in the self-authoring mind with all the people who are, you know, going to meet you at least halfway, so we can build that positive, like, energy mass that then starts to attract other people. If it shines bright enough, they're going to see us from the other side of the river, and they're going to be like, damn, it's so nice over there.
All right, so like we're gonna start wrapping up this conversation, I believe, because but you're talking to some things that are of high interest to me. What's going on to my mind right now is a philosophy. It's kind of a philosophical approach thing. So I think I'm hearing yours, but I just want to check in. So some of the things I think about when it comes to creating change is like, do I go to, let's use your 80% and the 20% or the 15%, right? So like, is my work to go to the 80%? And then try to get them to come over to the 15, you know, or is it to like say, hey, you're here in the 15, you know, you're in the self-authoring mind. Let's help you do this so well and make it so loud and unlike deniable that like others just kind of come along with, especially those that are like closest to the next thing. So I'll be curious about like your take here, like peer to peer, about like what's your approach? How are you doing this to keep filtering more people into the ship that you're on?
Yeah, I think it's both. Yeah, I think it's both. It's like, you know, think about the name of your podcast, Outlier's Edge. So on the 80% mass, there are people on the edge that are kind of like, oh, this ain't so good. So it's like, oh, so they're tapping into something within themselves, and they're ready to maybe move on and stop being in rinse repeat mode. And they're ready to start thinking. They're ready to start living their lives for themselves on their own terms, and making new and different decisions, and having a different kind of lifestyle, and engaging with people and connecting, and, you know, having love in their life. Right?
Thank you. Is the thing I'll say that. Thank you. So, Dr. Terry, we've come to our time here today. I'd like to end it here. I actually have four questions for you. Okay. The first one is an outsight that you have for anyone that's listening, right? So an outsight, I coin it as something that's a takeaway, a lesson you want them to walk away with. But it's not, it's something that you are providing to them. So what's an outsight that you have for any outlier that's listening?
So that love consciousness exists, even though we are in a war conscious world, it is not the natural nature. It's man-made. It's made by hundreds of years of exploitation, oppression, and all sorts of bad choices. And therefore, the underlying nature of life is actually love conscious. So it's there. We just buried it. So we can unbury it and you can have access to it. It's yours. It's built in. Take it.
I love it. It's like there's a simplicity to it. And it's right there. Just go for it. Awesome. So the next question I have for you is for you. Like, so we went to the outside there. What's an insight that you've had about any part of our conversation today?
Well, when we talked about the outliers, like we do, you know, when we're trying to address the 80 percenters, we'll call it the 80 percenters that are not thinking or trying because they've either given up or they've just been indoctrinated. So it's, and the fact that there's all these people on the edge that are probably ripe for coming over to the self-authoring, love-conscious side instead of, you know, just being beasts of burden.
I love, it's playing on me too. Like it's what's it called? The diffusion of innovation curve, which talks about innovators and early adopters and early majority, so on and so forth. It makes me think about that, right? Where it's like there's the, you know, they say what 4% are innovators, 12% are early adopters. So now we have like, that's basically 15, 16% right there. And now we're getting to like, how do we get the early majority on here? How do we get more of the people to like cross over into this place? So you're getting me to think in terms of that. And just also just look at a lot of what I'm doing from like a lens of like, okay, this game makes sense. You know, and really what I also feel, I want to just say thank you. It's like 1% at a time. You know, there's something like really beautiful around it. Like, well, we get 15 to 16, 16 to 17, you know, and then like eventually have it keep going so we can go. But 1% at a time. So let's do this here, Dr. Terry. Like for anyone who wants to stay in your world, who wants to go further with you, they know about Flip Your Switch. They can go get the book. They can go get the book on Amazon. And such. But like where if someone wants to continue down your world, what's the best way for them to do it?
There's two main ways to do it. So depending on what you want out of it and who you are. So if you want leadership coaching, you can go to whitelilycoaching.com. That's my professional leadership coaching website. If you're not sure yet, or you just want to read the book and you want to learn more, you can go to loveconscioushuman.com. Loveconscioushuman.com is where I'm trying to populate a lot of really good information for free, not a membership site or anything. I do sell a workshop that I do on cultivating joy. There's then also, I will be having two podcasts coming out in the next year. And the first one is is the Love Conscious Human podcast.
Lovely. Well, I'm excited for this year. And one of the things I love about podcasts is that like, we never know when someone's going to listen to this. So by the time you listen to this, the Flip Your Switch might actually be on audio version as well. So go check out and make sure you don't miss out on that altogether. So we'll end our conversation with this last question here, Dr. Terry. And it's called the time capsule question. And in it, I a lot of times we look at where we are right now and say like, oh, if I could go back in time, this is what I would say, like tell a younger person or tell myself. I'm not interested in that. I'm curious about the advice that you would leave for yourself now that would be meaningful for you 10 years from now. Like with the wisdom you have right now, what's a message that you would love to like hear or that like 10 years from now? Because you're like, oh, I knew it now and I might forget then.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you do that
Absolutely.
again?
Yeah, I'll bring it in again. So given what you know right now, if you had to like leave a message for yourself that you weren't going to like read again or hear again and for another 10 years, but at that moment it might be like reminding you about something that you know to be incredibly important to you. Like just don't forget this.
Yourself.
You're leaving a message for yourself 10 years later. What's the message that you would leave right now for yourself to remind yourself in 10 years?
That it's always the right time.
There it is. And with that, we will end today's conversation. Dr. Terry, thank you so much for letting this be a love conscious space, like giving us a chance to experience what love consciousness actually is like. Like you shape your world and we got to experience your world. And I'm grateful for you in that regard. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to further conversations from here.
Thank you.